Hello again, everyone. Welcome into That SEC Podcast. I am Cody McClure, along with Michael Bratton, bringing to you episode number 12 of the podcast, your favorite SEC podcast. We are doing well today, I think. I'm doing well. Mike, everything good with you?
Yeah, definitely. The schedules just came out for next season, so this is not your normal Tuesday here in the SEC, but we got a little extra to talk about today.
Yeah, so we've got schedules out today, and then we also have, we'll get to our most to gain, most to lose teams who are in action this weekend in the SEC. So we will talk about that a little bit, and then also maybe a little bit of hot seat talk, depending on how things go here. So I just want to start with these 2018 schedules, I guess. I was looking over some of these, and I want to get your thoughts on what you thought was most intriguing or anything that really stood out to you. The first thing for me is I think just how tough LSU's schedule is going to be once again. The Tigers have Miami to open the season next year at Auburn in week three. Of course, they play everyone in the SEC West, but LSU at Florida, permanent East team, and then the very next week they draw Georgia at home. It's brutal, Mike.
Yeah, and just like you said, it kind of rebounds off of this year. You know, I think that's kind of a big reason that we've both been kind of down on LSU this year, just because of the slate they had to run through. Now you're throwing in a neutral site game with Miami. You know, I think that could potentially be a top 10 showdown to open the season. And I think we've seen in the past that, you know, these games get so hyped up, but a lot of times the loser of these, you know, neutral site big games, the loser just kind of often goes in a tailspin. And, you know, it's so far ahead, I don't want to project that for either one of those teams, but I could easily see the loser of that game just kind of not living up to the hype coming into next year.
And I think also you take a look at Texas A&M's schedule, it is considerably tough as well because kind of like what Auburn had to deal with this year, the Aggies will play Clemson and Alabama in the first 4 weeks. Now, Auburn doesn't have to do that in the first 4 weeks this year, but Texas A&M, I mean, especially, you know, we said we might mention a little hot seat talk. Depending on what the coaching situation is there next year, you could be looking, I mean, if the Aggies make a change, you could be looking at a first-year head coach. And can you imagine that? First 4 weeks, you get Clemson and Alabama.
Yeah, any way you slice this schedule, it's going to be rough, whether it's Kevin Sumlin, you know, trying to fight for his job. They're not doing him any favors. I don't, you know, to my recollection, I don't think Texas A&M has ever played Alabama this early in the schedule. I'm not sure what brought about this change. But traveling to Tuscaloosa is always tough. Clemson, I mean, they just look down. They look almost on par with Alabama. So, you know, before they even get to October, two of the toughest teams in the nation. That's not ideal, obviously. You know, the one schedule that really jumped out to me was Georgia. I've kind of been circling the 2018 season as the year that I think Georgia will really take that next step and become an elite SEC program if things continue to trend the right way. And their non-conference is pretty much a joke. They play Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee, UMass, and Georgia Tech, and they get all those games in Athens.
Yeah, they do. And not only that, I'm looking at Georgia right now. Some of the key games, their biggest games, will come at home, too. Tennessee is at home next year. Florida obviously always played in Jacksonville at the neutral site, but the permanent crossover with Auburn, that game is at home. And you mentioned in-state rival Georgia Tech, that's at home. So I'm looking at Georgia's schedule here next year, and now they do draw LSU, and it's on the road, but that will be their toughest road game. Only four true road games, and the others are South Carolina, Missouri, and Kentucky. So that schedule sets up pretty well.
Yeah, the only trap I could see there is the second week they travel to Columbia to take on South Carolina. I like that game, you know, so much better in the first couple weeks of the season. It seems like traditionally that's always been the case. The last few years, not it's been switched. It's been till later, but I don't know. That always, along with Auburn LSU, which actually is later this year, but typically is early in the season. Arkansas, Texas A&M, this Georgia South Carolina game. It always kind of makes the season feel real when those two teams face off. So I enjoy that. That's back early in the year.
As do I. Another thing I notice here, Auburn. They don't go on the road next year until October 6th when they'll travel to face Mississippi State. So Auburn has a neutral site game against Washington to start the season and then four straight home games before going on the road for the first time. So Auburn, I think their schedule sets up pretty well to start the season hot next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and immediately another one that kind of jumped out to, I think, a lot of people when they were first going over this. I know it caught your attention. It caught mine. Excuse me. Tennessee, you know, they open with on a neutral site in Charlotte to play a West Virginia team that looks pretty strong. And then they get two cupcakes after that with East Tennessee and UTEP. But the next four games are brutal. They host Florida. They'll travel to Georgia. They get the open date. And then they travel to Auburn before facing Alabama. And, you know, from what we've seen from South Carolina, that looks like an up-and-coming program. They'll follow Alabama. So that five games is probably the toughest five games in the SEC looking a year ahead.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I think Tennessee's lucky to get the open date in there on October 6th. But, I mean, just that slate of games, it is incredibly tough, and it seems like Tennessee draws, regardless of the year, Tennessee always manages to draw one of the tougher teams out of the West. So, of course, the Vols have to make a road trip to Auburn next year, and that will be, I imagine, an incredibly difficult test. But you look at Tennessee's schedule, and it is easier on the front end and the back end. So it's kind of like back to normal for Tennessee because you've got West Virginia, East Tennessee State, UTEP, all winnable games on the front end. And then on the backside, Charlotte, Kentucky, Missouri, Vandy. So it should be easier to navigate for Tennessee, I think, in the beginning and in the end. But that middle ground, it's really tough.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the one positive to look at it. You know, if they were able to pull an upset or two, the schedule, in my mind, actually sets up really well as long as they can avoid a late-season swoon like they had last year.
Yeah, I'm looking over some of these, just some interesting non-conference matchups here. And, of course, you know, a lot of people already knew about these because they're scheduled ahead of time, but it's nice to, I think, finally have all of this laid out in front of us so we can look week by week, team by team, and see exactly what we're dealing with. And we've got some good out-of-conference matchups here in the SEC. Vanderbilt going to travel to Notre Dame. We mentioned Texas A&M and Clemson earlier, Tennessee and West Virginia. You look at South Carolina, they don't really play anybody notably until the end of the season. But Mississippi State, they'll go on the road September 8th at Kansas State. Ole Miss and Texas Tech in Houston. LSU, Miami. I mean, really some captivating, I think, out-of-conference matchups. Alabama, Louisville as well in week one.
Yeah, and the opening season, the opening weekend, you know, there's always tends to be those marquee matchups. We're not going to get quite the weekend that we got this season, but there's a few good games to start the season. You know, I don't know why this would be or what this says, but I found it interesting that looks like there's five neutral site games week one and only mm-hmm. Tennessee from the East. So, you know, I don't know why that would be. I guess, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in those. I think Georgia and Florida, it's kind of surprising that, you know, they've done it in the past. I don't know why they're not wanting to do it in 2018, but I just find that somewhat interesting that most of these West teams are doing it and not the East teams.
Well, Tennessee, for one, you know Butch Jones loves those neutral site games. I mean, Tennessee's been in one, the last two seasons anyway. And so, I don't know. It's interesting. Some of the Some of these, the way they set up, though, the one that I've really got circled is Auburn and Washington week one. I think that's going to be a really good game.
Yeah. That one and Ole Miss and Texas Tech could be, I don't know how great of a game it'll be, but I think it'll be an entertaining game.
Yeah. Any other notes on the schedule?
No, like I said, you know, it's somewhat hard to predict. You know, I'm not a big fan of saying this one's harder than this one because we just don't know enough, but it is kind of interesting to just kind of get initial thoughts looking a season ahead.
Yeah, it's hard to say where these teams will be at this time next year, but we just all you really know right now is kind of who you think will be good or who should be good and kind of just the brand recognition. So anyway, SEC schedules for 2018 are out. And now, Mike, let's move on talking about this week's biggest winners. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the teams with the most to gain and the most to lose this weekend. I was thinking winners and losers, which I guess it would kind of be the same thing.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some losers by the end of this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. So looking ahead on Saturday, some interesting matchups here. Let's talk about some teams that you expect who have the most to gain and also the most to lose.
Well, you already got me concentrating on the losers here, so I'm going to start off with that. I think the two with the biggest to lose, I mean, it's going to be the loser of Texas A&M Arkansas. There's already been some kind of, you know, quite a bit of, you know, negative publicity there for both of those teams. They both lost games that you know, the fan base probably thinks they shouldn't have lost, Texas A&M especially. Both those coaches somewhat facing some heat there with both fan bases. So, I mean, as we've seen, it's already been 3 weeks in the SEC calendar. And, you know, I put an interesting tweet out there. There's been 9 SEC teams that have lost this season already. And I swear, 8 fan bases are ready to fire the coach. So add another loss to that. And, I mean, it's going to be tough for the loser of that one.
There are not a lot of fan bases right now in the SEC who are happy, other than some that you wouldn't expect. You know, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and as we noted earlier in the week, it just so happens those three teams undefeated at the same time for the first time in 106 years. But Vanderbilt has to host number 1 Alabama this week. Mississippi State travels to number 11 Georgia. And Kentucky hosts number 20 Florida. So if you told me all three of those teams are going to be 4-0 next week, I'd probably bet my life that that's not going to happen. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
No. So, which of those do you think would be the most likely to win this weekend?
I think that Mississippi State, without a doubt, is the most likely to win this weekend. And they play the second toughest team out of that slate too, in Georgia, I think, and it's on the road. But I'm telling you, I don't know what it is. Eventually, maybe I'll something will change my mind. But until that happens, I am just in love with Mississippi State right now. So I think Mississippi State's going to go into Athens and win. I'm already on record as saying that. But I think Kentucky also probably has a good chance to win. But going back to our, you know, teams with the most to lose this weekend, that's one of the matchups I wanted to point out, because I do agree with you on the loser of A&M Arkansas. That one, I think that one's pretty obvious. But I think Florida has the most to lose this weekend. You're talking about a 30-year win streak over Kentucky. And you're fielding one of the worst Florida teams I've seen in a long, long time, going into Lexington to play 3-0 Kentucky, who just beat South Carolina. If there's a time for this streak to end, I think it's probably this year.
Yeah, and I tend to agree. And I think, you know, one, you know, people are saying don't call it a Hail Mary, call it what you want, the final play that beat Tennessee. I think that masked a lot of deficiencies with this Florida team. Because, you know, I'm still shocked that they're ranked. I mean, I know they won the game. It was a, you know, a somewhat, you know, impressive performance, you know, here or there with maybe the defense a little bit. But that team was just not impressive. Tennessee wasn't impressive for much of that game either. So, I'm not just downplaying Florida, but there's no way in my mind that that's a top 25 team. And if they were to drop this one to Kentucky, I mean, they've got the majority of their tougher games coming up. It could be a long season. These are the type of games that they have to win if they want to get to where they want, where the fan base think they should be under Jim McElwain. They can't be, struggling to beat Kentucky year three under McElwain, in my opinion.
Yeah, and then that's exactly why I think they have a lot to lose in this game. Another team that I would point to with the most to lose, and maybe this is kind of an obvious choice, but the fact that Alabama is ranked number one in the country and it's traveling to Nashville to play Vanderbilt, who I think is a really good football team. I don't think they're on the same playing field as Alabama, I'll be honest with you. I don't. I think that's at least a two or three touchdown game. But you talk about a team with a lot to lose. Anytime you go on the road in the SEC, you're number one in the country. National perception around Vanderbilt is never as high as it would be at other schools. So that would be a monstrous loss for the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I know. See, I just went back and watched the Vanderbilt and Alabama. I watched both those games from last week today. And I just don't see there's any way the Commodores will challenge them. I think they were lucky to beat Kansas State. I think Kansas State was a little overrated. But at the same time, they got a number of calls in that game that would have entirely flipped the script in that game. One of them was a terrible, terrible call, I thought, where the quarterback, Kyle Shermer, lost the ball and it was picked, scooped, and scored for a touchdown. And somehow it got reversed, without any kind of evidence. So I don't know. And the fan base, I'd say 50 to 60% of the fan base was Kansas State, and that was in Nashville. So I can only imagine it's going to be closer to 70, if not 80% for Alabama coming in there. I don't think it's going to be much of a home field advantage. And they had a lot of problems with the mobility of Ertz, the Kansas State quarterback, and he's not even on the same playing field as Jalen Hurts' mobility. So I don't see how they're going to hold Alabama in check in this one.
Well, fine then, Mike. I tried to give one, tried to help Vandy out there. Nobody ever talks about Vandy. We never give them any credit for what they've done, and I tried to throw one up there, some positivity, and you just shoot it right down.
Hey, so Nashville's riding high with Vanderbilt. All 5,000 fans are going crazy. So, I'll give them this week. They should be ranked. I don't know why they're not. They just beat a ranked team at home. They're undefeated. They should have this week to themselves before reality sets back in.
All 5,000 of them. Yeah, well, I do expect, we talked about this a little in the last episode, but I do expect Alabama to probably have more fans there than Vanderbilt. But anyway, I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Let's talk about some teams, I guess, now with the most to gain, unless you have any other big losers.
No, I'm ready to talk about my winner. And the number one team that I'm kind of going into this weekend think, could be the biggest winner coming out of it is Kentucky. They got a lot of momentum. I think they match up really well against this Florida team. It's obviously a 30-year streak they're trying to put to an end. And if they were able to get a win here, they look shaky starting out. They've got momentum. They went into South Carolina and won by 10 points. If they get a win here, it'll be 2-0 in the SEC, 4-0 overall, with Eastern Michigan and Missouri both coming to Lexington the next 2 weeks. That sets up really well to be 6-0, 3-0 in conference before getting the bye week. I've not been a big believer in Kentucky all off season, but yeah, that if they get a win here, it sets up for them to be legitimate contenders in the SEC East, in my opinion.
I think you're obviously correct on Kentucky, and I would say the same thing, but just to differ a little bit, just because you said Kentucky and I already had Florida as a most to lose. I think that one's kind of obvious that I would agree there. But Mississippi State, for the second week in a row, I think that Dan Mullen's team going on the road to Georgia, I think that they gained a lot of respect with that win over LSU, the way it happened, 37-7. I think they gained a lot of respect, but at the same time, I don't know that they are I don't know that the perception is as good as it could be. And you go on the road and beat Georgia. This Mississippi State team, if they do that, they'll be a fringe top 10 team next week. They could be 10th, maybe 10th to 12th, somewhere in that range. And I think you're finally going to see a lot of respect for a really good Mississippi State team. So I think they've got a ton to gain. And then I'll go out on the limb here with another one. How about Missouri? Because Missouri has just been pure garbage through the first 3 weeks of football. I'm not saying they've got a chance. I really don't think they do. But, you know, last couple weeks, Auburn's been kind of shaky. I mean, to be honest, Auburn just, they played Clemson, but their O-line kind of got exposed. And then last week against Mercer, turning the ball over a bunch, 5 fumbles. Going on the road in the SEC, Missouri, a team with nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose, could be a little bit dangerous. Yeah, it could be one of those games. It's like you don't expect to see it, and then Missouri comes out and puts up a good fight. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think Missouri has a lot to gain and obviously nothing to lose.
Yeah, and it somewhat reminds me of Kentucky last week where – you know, a little bit different circumstances, but, you know, Kentucky had struggled against two inferior opponents. I didn't see very, very few people picking Kentucky to win last week at South Carolina. In fact, the only one that I can remember picking to win that game was Kurt Herbstreit, and just about everyone else was on South Carolina pretty heavy. You know, they came out and got the win. I could see something similar here with Missouri. You know, obviously, they just got destroyed by Purdue, so you know they've got to be feeling down. But you know, this could be kind of like a rally type situation. If they can, you know, Auburn, you know, their defense looks great. You know, I'm a little concerned about the kicker. He continues to miss kicks. I thought he was the best kicker in the nation coming into the year, but I believe he's missed 3 or 4 kicks already. The offense, as you mentioned, they're just kind of. They just haven't found their gear, and that, you know, they finally got the quarterback going last week. But now, beyond that, now they have, I think they had 4 or 5 lost fumbles. So if they do something like that again, they're going to get beat by a SEC caliber opponent for sure.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they go in there and play like that, I mean, if you fumble 5 times against Missouri, that's a recipe for defeat, because you can do that against Mercer, and you're still going to win the game. They still won by 2 touchdowns. But even Missouri, as bad as they are right now in the SEC, they're still better than Mercer. So I think Auburn needs to really have turn it on a little bit coming into this game.
Yeah, and, you know, I forgot to mention this before, but you were talking about Mississippi State and Georgia. I took some heat for saying this earlier on Twitter today, but, you know, I think if Mississippi State were to win this game, they got another tough game the following week at Auburn. If they were to win that game as well, you know, with a few upsets, I don't put it out of the realm of possibility that they could elevate all the way to the number one ranking. And, you know, people kind of came at me for saying that, but that's essentially the same recipe that happened the last time that happened, where Dak Prescott led his team to a, you know, an upset of LSU, and then they followed that up with a win over Auburn, and then they followed that up with Texas A&M. Those were all top 10 caliber teams. That's what brought Mississippi State all the way up. This is basically the same scenario.
You've got me sold. I've already told you I'm all in on State. I'm gonna die on this hill with my until they lose. And I just obviously going to Georgia is gonna be tough. I don't think Mississippi State's going to go in there and do to Georgia what they just did to LSU.
I would say that score, I know it's incredibly impressive. They beat LSU by 30 points, and we talked about it on the last podcast. You know, the fact that they put up 37 on that LSU defense was remarkable. That may be the most impressive feat in the SEC thus far this year, but as strange as it is to say, I think LSU was a lot closer to winning that game than people realize. There was just a ton of penalties. 2 brought back LSU touchdowns, and you know, two other defensive players got thrown out for hitting Nick Fitzgerald just barely making contact with his head. Those were key moments in that game, and obviously the floodgates opened there in the fourth quarter. But So because of that, I'm still not quite sold on Mississippi State. I think Georgia's defense will be even better, like a tougher test than LSU's proved to be. But if they go into Georgia and Nick Fitzgerald does the same thing to this defense, then I'll finally be a believer that he can basically do it to any SEC team.
Bringing me down. I don't know. We'll see what happens. Let's see. What else do we have here? So any more big winners for you? Chances for teams to gain something this weekend?
Well, I think the only thing that comes to mind, you know, Tennessee, they need to get right. You know, no one's going to care if they win or, you know, obviously if they lose, they'll care. But the margin of victory here is not important, but just getting things right. A lot of times we see a team suffer a devastating loss, and it just kind of kills a team from an inside out. So it'll be interesting to see what they do against UMass. And another one that I'm looking forward to is Louisiana Tech at South Carolina. South Carolina needs to prove that they can do some stuff without Debo Samuel. I mean, he basically was their special teams. He's their star receiver. I think he was more valuable to the team than Jake Bentley. And without him, you know, they're going to have to manufacture some offense some other way.
Yeah, and the one game we haven't mentioned, Syracuse going on the road to play LSU. We've talked a bit about LSU, but that's a game that I think that LSU really needs a bounce back. And so I think they need to come out and handle Syracuse. Same thing with Tennessee and UMass. I think the margin of victory there it will matter, I think, because Tennessee needs to win that game by about 35 or 40 for fans to just – fans are not going to be happy regardless, but because of the Florida game. But they're – I don't think Tennessee needs to struggle in that game. But one other potential winner, Texas A&M and Arkansas, whoever comes out of that game with a W, I think it brings – I'm a believer in momentum – and I think it gives you a little momentum moving forward because both of those teams have an ugly out-of-conference loss. Arkansas got handled by TCU. UCLA came back from 44-10 to beat A&M, as we all know, and both coaches are on the hot seat. So, yes, the loser is in big trouble, I think, but the winner in that game, just to put a positive spin on it, I think the winner of that game, it's going to help them a lot moving from this point forward.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that.
All right, Mike. Well, it's been fun. This is anything else before we get out of here?
No, I'm just glad to see who's the next coach that the SEC fans are ready to fire next week.
Yeah, man, it's tough. I don't even – if you had to put odds on it right now, which Vegas has already put odds on it, and I think Butch is number one right now, isn't he?
Yeah, which that kind of blows my mind, all things considered. I don't know how you put him on the same plane as Kevin Sumlin right now, but I guess, you know, I think people just see kind of the fan reaction and just kind of buy into that. But
I think the pressure is probably just from what I've seen, and maybe it's because I'm, you know, I'm in Knoxville, so I see it up close, but mm-hmm. I haven't seen the sizzle quite as much as I have. I mean, I've seen it more here than I have at A&M or Arkansas. I mean, people here were just irate on Monday morning. So,
well, let me put it to you like this. If Tennessee were to win this game against UMass but lose to Georgia, I mean, do you think there's any chance that Butch Jones would be fired on Sunday?
I don't think so.
But how about now? Let me throw it to you that like this, because here's the number one guy, I think, in reality. If Auburn loses to Missouri, I think there's more than a 50-50 chance that they would fire Gus Malzahn.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. I think that Auburn, I think his seat may be a little hotter. You know, I think Butch is maybe not quite as hot as we think. And I think you're right about Malzahn. I think Auburn's his seat may be hotter than most people think because they wanted to fire him week three last year.
Right, and I mean, this is a team that some people have championship aspirations. Now, I still have that. I've still seen the defense looks outstanding. I think the quarterback is starting to come around. There's talent all over the offense, but there's obviously issues. The backup quarterback just got dismissed. Former number one overall recruit defensive lineman just left the team. There's some stuff going on behind the scenes there. They're not very positive, but if they, you know, I think the two games obviously they have scheduled, they've circled on their schedules, Georgia and Alabama. They got to win one of those, but if they don't even get to that, I mean, outside of losing to LSU, I think there's going to be hell to pay there.
My boy Dan Mullen's going to be the reason. I'm telling you, next week when unbeaten Mississippi State rolls in and takes him down, Dan Mullen going to cost Gus Malzahn on his job. Mike, it's been a fun episode. I guess we'll be back here in a couple days. That pretty much sums it up here. Anything else before we go?
No, I'm just ready to get towards another exciting week in the SEC.
As am I, my friend. Should be a good one. We'll talk a little bit later this week, have some predictions for you. But that pretty much sums it up here for episode number 12 of that SEC podcast. So until next time, we'll see you later.